this has been a real sacrifice and failure, but it's not all the time that we have with a tight schedule. We hope that we will try and ease our minds so that we focus, as today's meeting is about consideration of the budgetary review and recommendations, so that if possible, tomorrow then we can adopt the report, if we all agree on the adoption. I don't mean on the content, I mean on the report. Without wasting any time, I will ask the committee secretary to give us apologies if we have. Before she does that, honorable members, we were not able to inform you about Member Dichetelo, who lost her husband last week. You know, last week in a meeting, she went out saying that her husband is in the hospital. So we only learned this week that he passed away. May his soul rest in peace. We will be sending our condolences from the committee. Can we then get other apologies?
Thank you, Chair, and morning, honorable members. We received so far two apologies, one from Honorable Libenya. She's attending her caucus, party caucus today. And one from Honorable Bly. She had an accident while coming into Parliament. She took a car to Canal Walk. She said she'll join us if we're still in the meeting. Thanks. Oh, sorry. There's also one apology from Crystal Levendale. She got a call from home to inform her that her aunt has passed away this morning. So she had to go to the call.
Thank you, Nelise. Again, our condolences to the family. Honorable members, I've already welcomed you, and on our agenda, the first item we have is the deliberations on the budgetary review and recommendation report. I hope we all have copies in front of us, and we shall go through page by page. Page 2, our contents. Then page 3. I will ask us to go through. I will ask Member Peterson to go through page 1 for us. Yes, please. budgetary review and recommendation report of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Children, Youth and People with Disabilities dated that report as follows. Introduction, Section 77(3) of the Constitution of South Africa provides for an Act of Parliament which will provide for a procedure to amend the money bills before it. The Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act 2009, Act 9 of 2009, thus enables Parliament to amend aspects related to tabled money bills. The objectives of the bill are twofold. Number one, to establish a procedure to amend bills before Parliament within the context of oversight findings and the adoption of the fiscal framework, and to establish a parliamentary budget office to provide research support to Parliament and its committees pursuant to maintaining oversight of the budget process and the possible amendment to money bills. 1.1, the role of the committee. The mandate of the Committee on Women, Children, Youth and People with Disabilities is to legislate, conduct oversight of the executive, promote public participation, facilitate international agreements, and review matters of public interest in relation to the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. Section 5(1) of the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, number 9 of 2009, requires that the National Assembly through its committee must annually assess the performance of each national department with reference to the following: medium-term estimates of expenditure, its strategic priorities and measurable objectives, prevailing strategic plans, expenditure report relating to such department published by National Treasury in terms of Section 32 of the Public Finance Management Act, financial statements and annual reports of such departments, reports of the Committee on Public Accounts relating to the department, and any other information requested by or presented to a House of or Parliament. Section 5(2) makes provision for the annual submission of the budgetary review and recommendations report for tabling in the National Assembly for each department. It is expected of the Bureau to report on the following: assessment of the department service delivery performance given the available resources, assessment on the effectiveness and efficiency of the department's use and forward allocation of available resources, and may include recommendation on the forward use of resources. In order to enable the committee to take informed decisions on the performance of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities for the financial year 2010-11, the committee consulted the following reports and documents. Section 32 reports of National Treasury, considered and analyzed annual reports. Reports of the Auditor General of South Africa, ACSA, and Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. All this information would assist the committee to decide on the performance of the department. Can I continue, Chairperson?
The Department. The mandate of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities is to drive the government's equity, equality and empowerment of women, children and people with disabilities, especially in poor and rural communities. The mission is to create an enabling environment that translates constitutional obligations, policies and legislative frameworks into a realization of gender, disability and children's rights. The vision of the department is a fully inclusive society, free from unfair discrimination, inequality, abuse and exploitation. According to the 2010-11 annual report, the department is governed by all the laws that inform equality, empowerment, human rights and human dignity processes. These include the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996,
Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination, Act No. 4 of 2000, Commission for Gender Equality Act No. 39 of 1996, Divorce Amendment Act No. 116 of 1998, Maintenance Act No. 9 of 1998, Domestic Violence Act No. 116 of 1998, Labor Relations Act No. 56 of 1995, Employment Equity Act No. 38 of 2005, Children's Act No. 38 of 2005, Children's Amendment Act No. 41 of 2007, Social Assistance Act No. 6 of 2008. Department's Strategic Priorities and Measurable Objectives. 2.1, Strategic Plans of the Department. For the year 2010-11, the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities did not have a strategic plan, an annual performance plan that was tabled and adopted by Parliament. It is therefore difficult to measure the Department's performance, as there are no approved objectives and performance indicators against which to measure. Measurable objectives of the Department. In terms of the annual report of the Department for 2010-11, the Department highlighted the programs and objectives of each program. However, it should be noted that it's difficult to measure the objectives given the absence of the strategic plans for 2010-11 and the annual report for 2009-10. The programs are as follows. Would you like me to continue? Okay, 2.2.1, Program 1, Administration. According to the Estimates of National Expenditure, ENE, for 2010, the purpose of the program is to provide leadership, management, and administrative support to the Minister and other branches in the Department. However, according to the annual report for 2010-11, the Department reported that this program was non-existent in 2010-11, as it was reliant on the Presidency's corporate services for support. 2.2.2, Program 2, Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality. According to the ENE 2010, the purpose of WGE is to facilitate the translation of the national and international instruments into empowerment and socio-economic development programs, as well as to oversee and report comprehensively on the national realization of women's rights and the progressive realization of equality. The ENE describes the objectives as focusing on the empowerment of women by mainstreaming women's empowerment and gender equality considerations into governance processes at all three spheres of government, developing and maintaining a monitoring and evaluation framework, adapting international and continental instruments into local gender equity initiatives, developing and managing women's empowerment and gender equality catalytic projects, facilitating public-private partnerships in the interests of women. 2.2.3, Program 3, Children's Rights and Responsibilities. According to the ENE 2010, the purpose of Children's Rights and Responsibilities Program over the MTEF period is to ensure the realization of children's rights and responsibilities by providing leadership and support for planning, coordination, oversight, and comprehensive reporting in the National Children's Rights and Responsibilities Program, developing and maintaining a child rights and responsibilities monitoring and evaluation framework, developing and managing catalytic projects for children's rights and responsibilities, facilitating public-private partnerships in the interests of children, participating in sectoral coordination and in national children's rights forums. 2.2.4, Program 4, Rights of People with Disabilities. The ENE 2010 notes that the Rights of People with Disabilities program is aimed at strengthening strategic leadership and management of the national and international instruments for the realization of the rights of persons with disabilities, and aims to ensure the progressive realization of the rights of such persons over the MTEF period by reviewing and facilitating amendments to policies and legislation with the potential to advance the rights of persons with disabilities. developing and maintaining a monitoring and evaluation framework for the rights of persons with disabilities, adapting continental and international instruments on persons with disabilities into local initiatives, developing and managing catalytic projects for the rights and responsibilities of persons with disabilities in line with constitutional and international mandates, facilitating public-private partnerships in the interests of persons with disabilities, coordinating and participating in forums on the rights of persons with disabilities, regionally and internationally. Three, can I stop? Thank you, dear.
Department's prevailing strategic and operational plan, as indicated previously, the Department of Women, Children and People with Disability did not have strategic and operational plans, and therefore it is not possible to analyze this document. Analysis 4.4, analysis of the Department's annual report and financial statement. 4.1, administration program performance. According to the ENE 2010, the purpose of the administration program is to provide effective leadership, management, and administrative support services to health minister and other branches in the department. A total of $224.5 million was allocated to this program, constituting 25% of the total budget appropriation. At the time, 2010-11, it was envisaged that this allocation would be primarily used to set up the then new department, which included expenditure on recruitment of staff, capital expenditure for the renovation of premises, information technology, infrastructure, operating and support system for the new minister, and mandate implementation costs. Other than financial information, no other information is available in the 2010-2011 annual report about the administration program. The department only reported that this program was non-existent in 2010-11 as it was reliant on the presidency's corporate service support. Despite the reported non-existence of the program, the department still managed to incur deficit for this program as presented in Table 1. It is important to note that of the four programmatic areas, the administration programs allocated by far the greatest amount of funds apart from allocation to CGE. It is therefore problematic that this program has not been reported on in the annual report. The department would therefore need to provide a significant gap in information in this regard and report on the objectives of the program, its key performance indicators and deliverables in this regard. Further, the program status as a non-existent program is far from ideal, as this is in the essence a misnomer if expenditure has been incurred. It is also not possible for any department to exist without an administrative program, and the department is required to change the status of the program in future and report on performance in this regard. This is in the interest of holding it accountable for expenditure in this regard. Table 1, that is the 10-11 budget, administration budget and expenditure as the annual report. Main appropriation, 24,524. Adjusted appropriation, 8,567. Actual amount spent, 37,457 over expenditure on and over and under 8,820.
The department indicated that the overexpenditure was due to the following circumstances and issues: unplanned overseas travel and accommodation, including payments for stakeholders that were not initially provided for, and travel expenditure for officials seconded to the department, cost for re-advertising posts. 4.2, Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Program Performance. The annual report presents the objective of the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality, that is WEG program, as a means to provide strategic leadership, guidance, and programmatic measures on the promotion of women's rights. The objective is described in the annual report as follows. Objective 1, to monitor and evaluate the delivery of government on national, regional, and international mandates for women's empowerment and gender equity. Objective 2, to plan, coordinate, and advocate for programs on women's empowerment and gender equality. The table below identifies some of the indicators and targets set out to achieve these objectives. In order to monitor the department's performance in this regard, in cases where targets were partially fulfilled or incomplete, the performance is marked as not achieved. Where the targets have been completely met, this is marked as target achieved. In cases where the targets were not clearly linked to the indicators, this is reflected as unclear. While the objective is to monitor and evaluate delivery of government on national, regional, and international mandates, the report in this regard seems largely limited to participation at various meetings at the expense of more substantive delivery in this regard. Table 2, review on WEDGE performance 2010-11. Objective 1, to monitor and evaluate delivery. Are we supposed to make comments? Okay, on page six, the issue of CGE. Yes. The issue of CGE was raised in the meeting yesterday, and it was that we got an explanation that it is not the entity of the department, and therefore that's why they could not report on it. And right now is within the other chapter 9 institutions within the speaker's office. So I don't know whether the information that is written here is relevant.
I think because that was raised in the meeting, it's correct. But nevertheless, I think we need to substantiate as to what the department says. Are we not supposed to do that? Because we shouldn't just talk about problems without talking to the problems, so that anybody who was not here understands as to what our concerns and what the response was. Because I think there was a response, and I think it's important for this to be followed by that response.
Mm.
Member? Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think, the department explained about the CGE yesterday, but the CGE is not accountable to the department, it's accountable to the Speaker, but to Parliament. But we, as the committee, we can call the CGE to come and explain to us, maybe as a committee, to give us the full explanation, because they can't account down to the department, but they can maybe come to us and we can raise this question straight to the CGE. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I tend to agree with what was said previously. This department, CGE, has been very problematical in the past. And one of the reasons that they were able to get away with what they did, or where they were muddled along for so long, was because they weren't being held accountable by Parliament. This was a lacuna. This was a problem. So I think it is important that we raise this, that they are there, they're taking some of our budget, and they must be held accountable to somebody. And as has been said, we can call them, and we do have them reporting to us. But I think with the history of the misappropriation of funds and maladministration, we can't allow them just to get away without close scrutiny. So there should be some reference to that until it is decided. You know, if we do look at the Carter Asmar report and other things, that there will be some other reporting mechanism. But I think we need to keep our eyes on the department.
Thanks, thanks, honourable members. I think what members are saying is of value. And if we remember, CGE did come and present before us. And we are also going to get an opportunity again when we look at their report. But what I was merely saying here, I was saying what we should include should actually follow, you know, the response of the department. And then others will be debated separate from here when we deal with the report of the CG. I don't know whether I make sense. Member Kwame?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my concern is that this issue is raised under administration program performance. I think it should be raised under the observations of the committee in yesterday's meeting, and also the recommendation that came out of yesterday should go to the recommendation, which on the observations and recommendations, this is not reflected.
So we must take it out and address it in that fashion, okay? Do we all agree? Yes, we also agree about Kara Asmal report, and I think it's a responsibility of this committee to ensure that, you know, we complete that, because part of it has been implemented and the other part has not been implemented. So I think perhaps the committee must agree that we write to the Deputy Speaker here in that regard, you know, just to remind her.
Chairperson, just in terms of clarity around CGE and the mention administration, I think the key issue was when you look at the budget of this department, if you must break it down into chunks, which component gets the largest percentage of the budget? It's administration and the CGE. So in terms of the total budget, that is why it was mentioned. So administration takes a huge component of the department's budget. After administration, it's the CGE. So it's not saying that the CGE has any link to administration, but just making note in terms of actual amounts of money that go to various programs. And yes, we agree that in terms of the observations and conclusions and recommendations, that should be noted. But I do also think it's important, because if you take, if hypothetically the CGE is moved anywhere else, administration would have the hugest part of the department's budget, and then there'd be a small allocation to the women's program, the children's program, and the disability program. So I think it's just about the actual amount that has to be noted, because even though the DG was right, all they do is transfer the money. The CGE doesn't account to them, but the money still comes under out of vote 7.
and part of the BRR for the department is to acknowledge issues of money for this department as a whole. Thank you. And it still comes from our budget. Jefferson, it was the administration program that wasn't reported in the annual report. We're not talking about the CGE, but in terms of the program, if you go to our annual report, there's no narrative about the administration program. All they give is an indication as to how much was spent, but there's no explanation as to, the explanation came out from deliberations yesterday in terms of money is related to the suspense account. But if you look at the annual report, if there's nothing that will tell you anything about the administration component. And that's why it was highlighted that if a significant amount of your department's budget is going to a program, i.e. administration, surely there should be an explanation as to what that entailed. But this was absent in the annual report.
That's still referring to the administration. The only part that's mentioned in relation to the CGE was just the comparison in terms of budget. Everything else under there refers to administration. Thanks, Jay.
Chair, before we move, therefore, I think it is important because when you read it, it seems as if it's the continuation of the CGE.
Yes, I think maybe then just to make it clear, instead of just using the word program, so in that sentence where it says it is therefore problematic that this program, so instead of saying that, we can say it is therefore problematic that the administration program has not reported, was not reported. Okay.
Mm-hmm. We're now on page 7, looking at table 2 with regard to the review of the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Program performance. What is highlighted in table 2 are all the targets, and the key indicator here is around compliance with international, regional, and national commitments. The second column looks at noting all the targets, and then in terms of performance, it was either achieved or not achieved. So it's qualified, not achieved meant that if something either had to be completed, it was considered achieved, but if it was partial or in draft, it's considered not achieved. And where the indicator didn't link to the target, that was noted as unclear. So in terms of the targets for compliance with international treaties, the first was in relation to CEDAW. The second, in terms of the presentation to the CEDAW committee, preparation for coordination for the CSW, coordinating South Africa's participation, and then the bond on gender parity. So in terms of everything related to CEDAW and CSW, most of them were, all of them were achieved. In terms of the bond on gender parity, it's not clear how this actually relates to the compliance with international and regional commitments. Then in terms of the SADC protocol ratified, for the year under review, it wasn't achieved for 10-11, but we know for this year it was achieved, and hence we noted that. In terms of ensuring that South Africa participated, ratified, domesticated, and commemorated a commission study on SADC, the AU, the UN, and CEDAW. What was very unclear here was what is it that the department is actually trying to achieve? Or do they want to commission a study on everything in relation to CEDAW, the UN, the AU? Or is it that they're looking at identifying what has been ratified in terms of all these bodies? And because it's not unpacked, and it's difficult to measure to see whether they actually did that or not. Next is ensuring gender mainstreaming in government programs, projects and policies. There again, what specifically did the gender mainstreaming entail for which departments? That wasn't clear and specified. Next was ensuring women's access to full employment and decent work. That was also unclear, because again, how does that relate to the issue around compliance with international, regional, and national commitments? Engendering the CETAs, and then lastly, coordinating the nomination of skilled women in relevant CETAs, and that target was achieved. So then there's a narrative on page 8. It is important to focus on international treaties. However, what appears to be lacking in fulfilling objective 1 is an emphasis on domestic legislation and national commitments that aim to fulfill women's empowerment and gender equality. Targets such as ensure women's access to full employment at decent work and engender the CETAs are unclear and can't be accurately measured unless the department clearly states how they will achieve this. So in essence, the first indicator is around compliance, but there's been more emphasis placed on CEDAW and CSW and less emphasis on domestication and legislation, except for one mention of the bill, the gender parity bill that was drafted. Maybe I'll go on to the next table, and then we can see if there are any comments. In terms of the next objective, focused on planning, coordinating, and advocate for programs on women's empowerment and gender equality, there were three key indicators. The first was drafting a concept paper on Advisory Council on Violence Against Women and Girls. The draft document was consulted with stakeholders, and hence the target was achieved. Establish Women's Empowerment Fund. Annual report targets are unclear. The next was coordinating the Sanitary Dignity Campaign. Again, the targets aren't clear. Women's economic empowerment facilitated through anti-poverty programs and programs addressing women's access to SMMEs into the informal sector. Again, the annual report targets aren't clear. While the department aims appears to have some of its targets as stated in its annual report, it should be noted that the large proportion of the targets reported on was not presented in the E&E. The lack of an annual performance plan and strategic plan further compounds this issue, as there is no way of monitoring indicators and objectives in this regard. So in terms of objective 2, They've got the Empowerment Fund, Advisory Council, Sanitary Dignity Campaign, and issues around economic empowerment. But because there's no indication as for 10-11, we're going to do this in this province by when, it's difficult to know whether that was actually achieved, because it's like comparing apples and oranges. It's very difficult to compare. So perhaps we could see in terms of table the first and the second objective, if there are any comments or any additions that we should note.
Comments, member? Any comments? On page 8. By the way, you did explain the question of achieved, and but I'm not sure about unclear. To me, unclear, it's like you don't understand. And yet I thought that we will only come up with achieved, not achieved. But now, what do we mean? For instance, when you talk about gender equality bill, we know that it's in the process, you know, of it being presented to us. So when you say unclear, maybe if you can just explain that. Why unclear and not achieved?
Chair, specifically in relation to the gender parity role, I think in the paper that I had written first, it was about, initially it was, I don't know if it's two different pieces of legislation that they were working on, but it was the gender parity role and then there's the gender equity role. So I think in terms of unclear, the department wasn't clear about what had shifted and whether they are two different documents, and that's why it was written as unclear. Also, in relation to the other things in that list that's unclear, it's related to the linkages between what the target was and what the objectives and the indicators were. But what I think in this case, what we could do then, if we're unclear about it, we can relook and see whether it was achieved or not. Specifically in the case of the gender parity, well, we know it was not achieved. So we can then just mark it as that. But she can make a decision on that.
Chair, this isn't directly relevant to this report, although it links up with the, you know, being unclear. The coordination of the Sanitary Dignity Campaign. Some questions were asked about it yesterday, and I'm still not fully satisfied, and I just want this to be noted, and perhaps we can follow this up sometime. I'm not fully sure that we're really achieving something. It's a matter of, okay, we aren't handing it out, somebody else is handing out the product. But I'm still wondering how effective this is and whether we really are achieving something. It's such a small drop in the ocean, really. I'm just uncomfortable about it. I don't know whether I'm on target or not, but there's something that's quite not quite right about it, and I hope we're achieving something. But I think it's too small a project, and I don't know how one can possibly sustain it either. Anyway, it's just a comment.
Yeah, although the department indicated that they are coordinating it, I think it doesn't actually stop us from raising our concern to say, you know, our concern, because I'm sure everyone is on the same opinion to say, well, you know, you remember when we went on oversight? I mean, when one was saying, I think it's a... Remember Lebenya, who was talking about sanitary, so that, you know, it's not clear as to what criteria is being used, and so few, you know, peoples were able to access, you know, those services. So I don't think it really stops us
raising our concern, because, you know, sometimes when you raise your concern, that actually helps those who are doing it to improve on what they are doing. So maybe at the end you can come up with something, the researchers can come up with something that actually speaks to that.
I'm sure we're all going to raise the same concern, because the correctional services the other day had in Bizo in Soweto, and the female convicts, they are manufacturing these sanitary towels, and they also make distributions to the schools. But now what I suspect is the lack of coordination within the departments, within this, because if it is the responsibility of this department to deliver this to schools or whatever they're supposed to do, then they should coordinate. But I think there's a lack of proper coordination within the departments. I'm not sure whether the departments do come together and discuss this particular program and come up with a proper coordination, because I think there's a lot of coordination. I think the departments are not talking to each other about it. And if this department claims that they are the one that are leading this particular campaign, then they're supposed to be the ones that are coordinating within departments this whole program.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think I will want to agree with Honorable Gigi, because when we met the Department of Education, it made it clear that this was a call by the President, as we all know. It is not the mandate of all these departments to distribute this. It's a call, and it's not budgeted for. Each and every department is making ways, its own ways, to make sure that they implement this program. But I'll agree with Honorable Gigi to say that even the Minister of Women indicated that this was done in silos. The department, even us, even in my constituency, I'm doing this and distributing sanitary towels. The Department of Corrections department will distribute. Anybody can distribute it, but it's not well coordinated. And I think it is the responsibility of the department, and I think the minister agreed with us that
they are going to come up with a program that will be able to align or to interact with all those departments so that this program can be well coordinated. Thank you very much.
So can I just summarize then? The key issue around the Sanitary Dignity Campaign is that the committee has noted the lack of coordination with several departments in the manufacturing and dispensing of sanitary towels. I also think it's important to note that if we go back to the mandate of this department, they're not service delivery. They are monitoring and evaluation. So again, I think, and coordination, but also the issue of coordination based on the oversight that we have done in the Eastern Cape and KZN. There was no coordination by this department. So if they had budgeted for and planned for this campaign in 2010-11, what was the physical manifestation if in 2011 we saw no physical evidence of any of their coordination? So I also think we observe that it's important to coordinate, but I also think the issue of what the coordination by this department entails should clearly be outlined, because from our observations, the most neediest of schools did not get sanitary towels, i.e. the School for Children with Disabilities. And again, based on what we have received from the department in terms of the schools in the Eastern Cape, the issue of sustainability, if this department is putting together coordination, how do they coordinate the delivery of sanitary towels to 1 and 2 girls at 1 school? So again, I think we acknowledge the issue of observation, that there's a need for coordination, but that the department also has the responsibility of indicating what exactly this coordination would entail, and what would be the tangible outputs and outcomes. We're now on page 9 in terms of women empowerment and gender equality budget and expenditure. In terms of this program, a total of 58.9 million, which constitutes 60% of the department's total budget, was allocated. Upon initial inspection, it did appear that this program was disproportionately resourced in relation to other programs, which only received 7.1 million rand each. However, upon closer scrutiny, it becomes evident that WEDGE in fact received a similar allocation to the other two programs. Of the 58.9 million allocated to WEDGE, 51.9 million, which is 88% of the program, was taken up by transfers to the Commission for Gender Equality, leaving the program with just over 7 million to achieve its objectives. Table 3 below represents the budget expenditure for the program, as presented by the department for the 2010-11 ending March 2011. Based on this table, the department has overspent by 389,000. Despite the overspending that incurred in the program, the department did not meet all its targets and reported that the women's program faced challenges related to human resource shortages as well as limited finances. The annual report indicates that overexpenditure was incurred during Women's Day celebrations that had not been budgeted for as it was previously hosted by the Department of Arts and Culture. It must be noted that similar concerns were raised during the previous financial year. Overexpenditure was also related to travel costs for attending the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women's Conference. So before we go on to the children's rights programs, perhaps if there are any comments or concerns in relation to what has been stated for the budget for the women's program.
here where we talk about the women's day celebration. I think it was not only by the Department of Arts and Culture, only also COPTA. Can you also mention COPTA? Because it was also handling that before it was. Silence means consent. Can you move?
Okay, for children's rights and responsibilities, the program performance on page 10. In its annual report, 2010-2011, the department's two key objectives were not clearly stated in its budget vote. These objectives are: Objective 1, promote human dignity and advance child survival, protection and development. Objective 2, to coordinate, monitor, evaluate and advocate on child rights delivery. The following table identifies the indicators and targets set out to achieve these program objectives. Table 4, it's a review on children's rights and responsibilities performance for 2010-2011. So the first objective was to promote human dignity and advance child survival, protection and development. The first indicator, child-friendly communities model implemented in 36 municipalities. This was the indicator that was set out. The target was to develop and roll out the child-friendly cities model, but this was not achieved. Then the second indicator for that objective was to create a comprehensive child protection strategy. The first target there was to create a comprehensive plan of action for children's rights and responsibilities for the 2010 FIFA Soccer World Cup and beyond, and this target was achieved. The second target was a rapid survey on children's rights and responsibilities gaps in the sister departments and develop a tool to audit the needs and structures such as child rights focal points. This was not achieved. And then the third target for this objective was to develop and implement a plan of action for one goal, education for all in South Africa, for all children in South Africa. This was not achieved. So only one of the targets for this objective was met, and the annual report indicates that some of these objectives were not fulfilled because of limited resource, human resources, and limited finances. While the objective is aimed at promoting human dignity and advancing child survival, protection, and development, the targets did not necessarily directly relate to fulfilling these rights. It is for this reason the department has to ensure that all targets and indicators are related to its overall objective. Then objective 2, which is to coordinate, monitor, evaluate, and advocate on child rights delivery. The first indicator is national, regional, and international reports compiled and submitted as per schedule. The target for that indicator was the final refinement of the AU and the UN reports, and that goal was not achieved. Then the second indicator for that objective is child rights focal points established. The first target was to increase child participation. That was not achieved. Advocacy for children's rights focal points, that was not achieved. And the sanity, dignity for indigent women and children and girls promoted, that was achieved. While the department presented on the progress of the targets, a large proportion was not completely achieved. The department noted that variances in achieving the set goals were related mainly to human resource shortages and limited finances, similar to which, despite its overexpenditure, this program could not fulfill most of its activities due to budget constraints and a lack of human resources. Then in terms of children's rights and responsibilities, budget and expenditure, the table below represents the budget expenditure of the children's rights and responsibilities program as presented by the department for the 2010-2011, ending March 2011. So table 5 looks at the children's rights and responsibilities budget and expenditure as per the annual report. The main appropriation was 7.1 million, or 7 million, or let me read out the full figure, 7,154,000 The adjusted appropriation was $8,568,000. The actual amount spent was $8,735,000, and they overspent $167,000. And then the department explains that the overexpenditure of this program was incurred as a result of local and overseas travel for seconded officials. However, no further explanation is provided in this regard. And when we look at Table 6, this is the Children's Rights and Responsibilities Budget and Expenditure as per the National Treasury Report. That means this is why it's sent to members, Section 32 report by National Treasury. So the numbers are similar in terms of main appropriation, adjusted appropriation. However, when we get to actual amounts spent, National Treasury reported $11,313,000. And in terms of over-expenditure, the department had overspent for this program $2,747,000. So Table 6 represents the expenditure outcome as presented by National Treasury. There appears to be a vast difference in the variance of expenditure reported in the National Treasury's Section 32 report for 2010-2011 and the department's annual report for 2010-2011. National Treasury estimated approximately $2.5 million more in terms of over-expenditure than indicated by the department. National Treasury's commentary of the department included notes stating that it had failed to provide reasons for overspending. National Treasury added that the department had also not provided performance and expenditure reports for projects and programs undertaken in 2010-2011. Going to page 12.
Well, just what we finished with now, just to start on that on page 11, these differences between what National Treasury and the department itself reported. When I asked that question yesterday, there was complete astonishment on the faces of the officials. So it's quite clear that they are not fully aware of exactly what's going on yet. So I know they're trying and they've now got a CFO, but I found this strange that they seem to be baffled by what I had said, and that was a question that came from our researchers. It wasn't my own particular one. Anyway, yes, I'm just concerned about, on page 11 at the top, sanitary dignity for indigent women and girls promoted, and they say that has been achieved. Now, from the questions that we've just asked, we wonder, was it really achieved when there is so much lack of coordination and no fewer details? But my main point was really about the development. This is on page 10 under table 4. The indicator, child-friendly communities, and then the target was development and rollout of the child-friendly cities model. And they did indicate that they hadn't achieved what they wanted to set out to do. But I am also concerned about what they're trying to do in providing child-friendly cities. I think this is really something that links up very closely with social development, and that our function must be that of monitoring and not actually trying to effect it. And then I think there also needs to be monitoring with local government, because this is also a program that is being implemented by local government. I know particularly about the city of Cape Town. I don't know about others. But I do know that they have a very extensive plan and a model that is working well. In fact, it started in 2001 because I was part of that progress at the moment. So, again, I think we can't work in isolation and come in from the top and say we're achieving this. Let's work together and make sure that they really are monitoring what's already in existence, what is working well at all spheres of government, because there is also a very big provincial component. Thank you.
I was also going to talk to it, and also comprehensive child protection strategy. What is the role of
his ministry in this development and implementation of plans of action for one goal, education for all children in South Africa. All. When are we going to achieve that? And what is the role of the ministry here? Huh? You see, now we actually put ourselves for, I mean, the ministry can do this. Even the basic education, they can't say they've achieved this. So I think I want to agree with the member Robinson that we some of these, you know, they are really impossible, and unless we want just to make a big report, we can I ask the researchers to look at this and maybe if possible remove this. And then I think she has covered me on the sanitary dignity, because we are talking about that. What is it that they have achieved? Can you explain?
If I may just add, before we remove something, if we could perhaps rather add, because that is what the department had presented. So instead of saying removing it altogether, perhaps say the target should be more focused and not that broad, because they would never achieve on targets that are that broad. So perhaps they should narrow down the targets. If it's around education, they should rather highlight something specific in what they want to target in terms of a province or in terms of a particular program, as opposed to having broad programs that is the education for all, for example. I don't know if we should be removing things that they have already from the actual report.
Yeah.
Yes. So then, if members are in agreement, we would rather make a comment then to say that the goal was, and the target specifically is too broad, and the recommendation would be for the department to narrow its targets to be more achievable. I mean, in relation to the sanitary dignity target, for that specific, members must remember when we're looking at it from the perspective of, if we look at the particular target that they set out, they achieved that target for that campaign. So, for example, for that particular sanitary dignity campaign under children, they had said they collaborated with strategic partners, for example. That was, in fact, achieved. So in terms of, and I think in terms of recommendations further, it's about them looking closely at the targets. So while we can debate around what was really done and what the point of it is, because that target is in the annual report, they actually did achieve that target that they had set out. However, members had noted before, because there wasn't a strategic plan or an annual report, they can technically have done the sanitary dignity campaign, had outcomes, and then called back a target and said, yes, we've achieved it. It's not necessarily something that they looked at in terms of strategically. So that is why it was marked as achieved, because it was, in fact, achieved in terms of what their target was to. So, I mean,
I want to check with our researchers if the department's report says they have achieved a certain target, and we as a portfolio committee, we feel that
this is not achieved, maybe it's partly achieved, we have a right to change that. Because this issue of sanitary landfill, we discussed it earlier on at length, and I think we do not agree because we say there is no proper coordination on this particular matter. Maybe partly by convincing, if they are the ones that convince other departments.
Maybe it also relates to the previous one where we said maybe we should not just say achieved. We must say more about it in this column as to, you know, justify.
Or it will reflect on the observations of the committee as well.
Page 12, in terms of Rights of People with Disabilities Program performance. In its 2010-11 annual report, the department's three key objectives for this program were as follows: to protect and promote human dignity and equality of all persons with disabilities, create an enabling environment for empowerment, advancement, and socioeconomic development of persons with disabilities, and thirdly, to prevent and eliminate all forms of unfair discrimination against persons with disabilities. In terms of Table 7, review of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities Program performance, in terms of Objective 1, the indicator was a draft national disability policy development and implemented. The target, national disability policy to be popularized and implemented in 9 provinces, not achieved. The UN Convention implemented in 9 provinces, not achieved. Special schools audit, not achieved. Responsive intervention to institutions for people with disabilities achieved. Poor households targeted for social assistance achieved. Objective 1 relates to protecting and promoting human dignity and equality of all persons with disabilities. This is an essential objective in realizing the rights of people with disabilities. However, only 1 of the 5 targets were achieved. Given that this program had underspent its budget allocation, it is concerning that the department did not meet all the targets for this objective. It is also concerning to note that in terms of the program for people with disabilities, only 34% of the budget was spent. In terms of objective 2, creating an enabling environment, the indicator, an enabling environment for empowerment and advancement of people with disabilities created. The target, increased employment equity target, not achieved. Second is research completed and published and implemented. Study results to be used to increase employment equity target was achieved. There was one more in the target above, which is oversee implementation, monitoring and evaluation of the anti-poverty strategy that was also achieved. So objective 2 focuses on creating an enabling environment for empowerment, advancement, and socioeconomic development of persons with disabilities. The target that focuses on increased employment should be more refined. Targets that are too broad or make it more challenging for the department to achieve. In terms of objective 3, to prevent and eliminate all forms of unfair discrimination, the indicator, an enabling environment for empowerment and advancement of people with disabilities created. The target, an MOU and partnership with DTI on economic empowerment. This was not achieved. Sports facilities in provinces meet accessible standards. This was achieved. Advocacy campaign conducted in 9 provinces and not achieved. Objective 3 appeared to have all its listed targets as retrospective outputs. This means that after the event or action was complete, it was listed as a target. This is particularly problematic in terms of monitoring progress, as it will always be seen as achieved, especially where it is an unplanned activity. In terms of 4.4.1, the Rights of People with Disabilities Budget and Expenditure, the table below
represents the budget expenditure of the Rights of People with Disabilities program as presented by the department. The department explains that an under expenditure of this program was incurred to the amount of $5,656,000. This was attributed to human resource shortages as well as limited finances in order to achieve the planned activities. In terms of Table 9, Rights of People with Disabilities Program Budget and Expenditure as per National Treasury Report, Table 9 represents the expenditure outcome as presented by National Treasury. The table shows that the department had spent even less on people with disabilities than reported in its annual report. So in terms of National Treasury, it's indicated that there was an under expenditure of $6,789,000 as compared to Table 8, with the department notes in the annual report an under expenditure of just over $5.5 million.
Chair, page 13, under objective 3, they say that sports facilities in provinces meet accessible standards, and they state that this was achieved. I find this problematic. I don't know how they came to this conclusion. Was a survey conducted? I'd just like to know how they reached this achievement, because I know of plenty of places which do not have the accessibility, not even magistrates' courts and police stations and others, let alone sports facilities.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think on page 12, too, this poor household targeted for social assistance, which was achieved, too. I don't see that possible, Chairperson. Page 12, the last on table 7, poor household targeted for social assistance. I don't think the survey was conducted today, Chairperson. Because remembering, we went also to KZN, the last school there, very poor, where we got people there waiting for us. It was a very cold day, I remember. If we could remember that place too, Chairperson. I don't know how they are saying if this was achieved. Thanks.
Chairperson, I'm not sure whether it's this committee that met with had a meeting of basic education this year. It was this committee. Okay. When they reported on special schools, if you remember, they said they did an audit in 2007. And this is quite confusing. I think that we have a problem with this monitoring of the department, monitoring everything. Because the people that are supposed to be doing this, they said they are not going to do it again. And because they said they did it in 2007. So it's not in their financial year, the audit of the special schools. So I'm not sure when they talk about the audit of the special schools, what is the department, what are they trying to say, or what are they going to do? Because basic education is the one that is supposed to do that, and they continue to say they did it in 2007. Then if this thing honestly confuses us, this monitoring business of the department, because I don't know, I'm confused, honestly. Because time and again during each month, the department continuously say they are busy with the auditing of the school. And now this is not achieved, and the basic education, they never even had a meeting with the department to discuss this particular matter.
Just to respond to
the researchers will actually maybe help us here, because you know, the department is working in partnership with other departments. They said they have signed a memorandum of understanding because they are not implementing, they are simply monitoring. So when do they when they say they have achieved, does it mean they got that from other departments, the information? Because, I mean, they are not implementing. They are monitoring. And they have signed a memorandum of understanding with other departments. So, whilst on one hand, they may say they have not achieved what other departments have done because they have not monitored that. And where does, I mean, maybe you can just assist us on that one when you respond.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the first target about the sports facilities, and I think the same goes for the poor household targeted issue. Again, it's similar to the Sanity Dignity campaign issue. It's because of their target. If you're going to look at the annual report purely on what they say, with regards to the sports facilities, but I mean, I know members have now decided that we can say partially met or not met at all. However, in relation directly to the target that they had set out for sports facilities, they said that they to achieve that particular target, they are going to coordinate the South African Disability Alliance and the department submitted a report and plan to the Sports Portfolio Committee in Parliament explaining the accessibility of requirement of stadia. And in doing that, that is meeting their target. So I suppose it's a strong issue in terms of how they set their targets, because it's easy for them to say we did that and so we met it. So I think it's obviously in terms of the committee's recommendations to strongly drive that you can't simply have any target to say then that was met. And the same goes for the poor households targeted for social assistance. The department said in the annual report that they collaborated with the Presidency and Social Development on implementation of the anti-poverty campaign for people with disabilities in provinces. And in doing that, they met what they had set out to do. It's about the committee saying that that is insufficient and that would definitely not achieve what they said they were going to achieve. However, if we're just looking at what they say their target was, they've met it because they said that's what we're going to do and that's what we did. The difficulty in this case was there was never something set out to begin with, so the committee is standing on one leg in terms of you don't have information in terms of saying, well, you said you were going to do this. So all they're saying is, well, we said we're going to do this, and we did this, and so we achieved it. That's the difficulty. So it goes for both the sports issue and the household issue, yes. And then in terms of the special schools audit, it's definitely something that we can mention because I think it's been done previously, obviously in the 2007, but more than that, in some of the other programs too, it's another department's achievement. So what this department can simply say is that we had a meeting with him and therefore we implemented that target. So in terms of recommendations, again, it's about being very firm in terms of them setting their targets very clearly in meeting the indicators and the objectives that they set up to begin with. But I know Kashwa is going to respond to the other two, and they maybe also unpack some of the issues around the special schools audit, because I wasn't on that oversight. Thanks.
What's the consistent trend which the committee observes now is that the target is misleading. So if we revisit the issue of the Sanity Dignity campaign, the targets was to collaborate, to meet with stakeholders, to partner. But the objective is to ensure accessibility of the Sanity Dignity campaign and to enhance the dignity of women. But the fact that you meet with a stakeholder, that you collaborate, and that you do that for a space of a year doesn't mean that the sanity tables were actually dispensed within that year. All they're saying is their targets are around planning. What we see in the disability program is their targets, again in terms of the school audit, for a year they developed a questionnaire. And they're saying in order to undertake an audit, their target was to develop the questionnaire. So their target was met. But that doesn't mean the development of a questionnaire means you've actually done and implemented the school audit. So maybe the overall observation is that in terms of the targets outlined by the department, they don't clearly, as Tasneem had indicated in the annual report, don't clearly link to the indicators. So therefore it's misleading in terms of the actual achievements by the department. Second to that is, in terms of all the programs so far, we had noted that for the achievements, they indicate they collaborate, they partner, they develop draft concept papers, and they develop questionnaires as an indication as to whether they actually doing something in relation to the program. From the observation of what the committee is saying now, is those activities in and by itself is insufficient in order to bring about a change in the lives of women, children, and persons with disabilities. So that's the, from the deliberation so far, that's the overall observation that the committee is making, and that in terms of the recommendation, what we're pulling out is that the committee is recommending that the targets which the department needs to set clearly need to link back to the objectives in line with the mandate of the department, and that in terms of collaborations with other departments, the department has to be clear as to what their role entails and what the cost implementations would be in relation to that and what the tangible outcomes and targets would be. In terms of the correlation we're seeing between what the department reports on and what other departments are doing, we could also note in the observations that the committee is concerned that in terms of what the department notes as achievements is dependent on the implementation of other departments, and that the mandate of this department is around monitoring and evaluation and coordination. So therefore, that should come out in terms of what the department is doing for the next year, what specifically they intend monitoring. So, for example, if we take the issue of education for all, the key, for the children's program, the department's responsibility is compliance with the Convention on the Rights of the Child and many other treaties regionally, like the Africa Charter and MDGC. So the department's role is to look at our departments complying in relation to that goal. How are you monitoring? So we're not saying we need to provide, this department must provide education for all, but the department's role and responsibility is to monitor that compliance and talk to issues, in this case it would be around MDG3. And where there are particular concerns, for example, children with disabilities, the department has the right to say in terms of compliance coordination, these are the key concerns in relation to education for all that relates to children with disabilities. So there's a space for the department to be monitoring and also recommending, because we've seen in terms of our oversight in these schools, there's clearly a role for this department. One, to be advocating for the rights of children with disabilities, but two, also to raise the Department of Basic Education the fact that the current infrastructure for the schools that we visited is inadequate, and in terms of a quality of education and right to education for these children, it's insufficient. So I think that's the difference between the monitoring and evaluation for this department and how this department and its role is different to the Department of Basic Education and Social Development. So too in terms of the child-friendly cities, the department needs to look at how our municipality is ensuring that the needs of children are taken into consideration, for example, in the integrated development plans. So in terms of, it's not our role to look at giving money for the implementation of a child-friendly model, a city's model, but to look, to monitor, to engage with local government and saying, what are your plans to monitor those plans? So that the department can come back to us and say, of the over 300 municipalities, actually, the only two major municipalities that take into consideration the needs of children, which is problematic. So So that's where the monitoring and evaluation can happen. So in terms of overall observation, that one, in terms of the targets, that the target farm is leading, they're not clearly linked to objectives, and that in terms of the role of the department, the concern, again, in terms of observation, that the department is reporting on activities which fall in the ambit of service delivery departments, and that the monitoring of compliance in relation to these issues that pertain to women, children, persons with disabilities is not coming through strong enough, and that the recommendation in terms of the targets needs to be more clear, and that their role needs to be better specified.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Sorry for coming late. One of those bad days for me. Yeah. thanks, Chair. Chairperson, I'm a little bit worried about the misleading of the achievements. And for me, if it's like that, then what is the role of this committee? Then I think the committee must rectify that. Because if achievements is misleading, it's a big problem. Then what are we saying in terms of that? I mean, the targets, yeah. Thanks, Chair. Thank you.
I don't think it would affect anything sensible. That is why I thought I would express myself better in the school for all of you.
Chair, thank you. I also have the same concerns, Chair, and I would like also to add by saying that I think it's about time that the Portfolio Committee invites the Minister for Monitoring and Evaluation, because I'm really concerned about this task for the department. I think it's a huge task for them, and also, if they are not working closely with the Minister for Monitoring and Evaluation, because maybe that ministry has got better resources and they can assist the department in what they want to achieve. But I think we should invite, the minister should be invited by the Portfolio Committee to come and address us and tease out these concerns that we have as a department. As a Portfolio Committee.
Thank you, members. I think these are all food for thought. Because one other, issue that keeps on bothering me. I think the department is taking too much. They are taking too much. They are putting too much on their plate. So if you put too much on your plate, you will do a little bit of everything. And maybe the department, they must really focus on something that will be felt, because I think it has not been felt yet. It has not been felt. So maybe as this committee also, one of our, recommendations really should be that for the department to be able to focus, they must actually reduce the load, because even if you look at their spread plan, it's too much, and I don't think they'll be able to achieve, the intend to do. So I think that also must be one of, our recommendations to say, I think the department must really go. Take a step back and see what is achievable and what is not achievable, so that they reduce, the amount of work which they commit themselves to do.
What we'll do when you come to the observations, I'll pick up some of the observations that have been indicated. And then add that on, as well as recommendations. I also think it's important to know that in terms of the MTEF period, we've got come after the MTBPS, after October, November, there are 2 years left. 2 years left, so we need to say, in terms of the recommendations, for the next 24 months, bearing in mind what the Chair said, how would the recommendation in terms of what the department needs to focus on as a collective, and then for each program, and how these targets need to be achievable within a given year, so that it's tangible in terms of actually improving the lives of women, children, and persons with disabilities. Just in terms of number five, consideration of reports of committee on public accounts, I think there was just to date the department had not appeared before the committee on public accounts. As such, no reports are available in this record. I think it's for the period under review. That's in terms of number five, consideration of reports of committee on public accounts. For the period under review, this department never appeared before public accounts. So therefore, we can't report on that matter. And then this will go to six.
In kind of consideration of other sources of information in order to compile this report. Reviewed the State of the Nation's address by the President for 2010. In his 2010 State of the Nation's address, the President highlighted the government's commitment to socially vulnerable groups by stating that the defining future of the current administration will be that of understanding and responding to the needs of the people of South Africa, ensuring in particular that women, children, and persons with disabilities are able to access developmental opportunities. The President outlined five strategic priorities for 2010, namely education and skills development, ensuring a long and a healthy life for all South Africans, rural development and land reform, creating decent work, and fighting crime. These strategic priorities all bear relevance to women, children, and persons with disabilities in South Africa. Greater access to education and skills development and employment opportunities, improved health services and care, as well as improved access to affordable housing and upskilled infrastructural development will better the lives of all socially vulnerable groups. Issues of education, employment, healthcare, and access to basic services are all interlinked, thus requiring a holistic approach to real effect real change in the lives of women, children, and persons with disabilities in South Africa. The department would have done well to take into consideration these strategic priorities when planning programs and activities. However, given that no strategic plan or annual performance plan was developed for the period under review, it is not clear as to what extent these priorities were incorporated. In terms of the report of the AG and the Financial Fiscal Commission, the Auditor General findings indicated that the department received an unqualified audit opinion. There was, however, a number of matters of emphasis highlighted. These matters speak to challenges with regard to irregular and unauthorized expenditure, weak reporting mechanism, and non-compliance with laws and regulations. These matters of emphasis highlighted the following in this regard. Insofar as overspending is concerned, most funds were overspent in the administration program. Unauthorized expenditure to the amount of 3.7 million was incurred due to overspending, while an amount of 6.6 million was disclosed as irregular expense. From the report by the Auditor General, it appears that the department, despite receiving an unqualified audit report, still had numerous challenges, particularly in relation to financial management and compliance with laws and regulations. The issues highlighted below are of particular importance for the committee to consider in relation to the department's performance. Number one, in terms of the strategic planning and performance management, was no strategic plan was prepared, subsequently leading to a lack of synergy between objectives, indicators, and targets for program. In addition, the AG highlights that no valid performance management processes and system to record and measure actual performance. Compliance with laws and regulations, there were no procedures for quarterly reporting as required by the Treasury regulations, meaning that no effective performance monitoring, evaluation, or corrective action could occur. In addition, poor internal control measures for performance management were in existence. No monthly report was submitted to track current and planned expenditure. And bullet point number two, procurement, contract management, and expenditure management. Services were procured and or tenders awarded to suppliers did not provide tax clearance from SARS. Payments to creditors were not always made within the required periods, that is 30 days from the receipt of an invoice, as per the PSMA. Effective steps to prevent and detect irregular and unauthorized expenditure were not taken. under human resource and compensation of management. Senior management did not enter into performance agreement for the year under review. Inadequate human resource planning resulted in the department not meeting its human resource requirements. Under governance, the department did not take a risk assessment as required by Treasury, and as a result, mechanism to mitigate risk, mismanagement, irregular and unauthorized expenditure were not in place. In a presentation to the portfolio committee, the AEG highlighted the following contravention committed by the department in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. The table below highlights the numerous instances of the department non-compliance with the PFMA. Under category of findings and related act, under strategic planning and performance management, as said before, there were no strategic plan prepared, which is consistent with MTEF. Strategic plan not combined with prescribed quarterly report ineffective, and the analysis for the AOPO. And the budget, that is section 39.43 of the PFMA, expenditure not in accordance with the vote, utilization of capital savings to defray current expenditure, non-submission of monthly revenue and expenditure reports to National Treasury. Annual financial statements, performance and annual report, that is section 41B of the PFMA. Financial statements submitted were subject to material or significant adjustments. Expenditure management under PFMA is section 38.1C2, Roman figure 2, and under Treasury Regulations 9.1.1. Unauthorized and irregular expenditure were not prevented and detected by the department. Also, payment due to creditors were not always settled within 30 days from receipt of an invoice. Procurement and contract management, awards made to suppliers in the absence of tax clearance certificate. Human resource and compensation management. Human resource planning not undertaken, performance agreements not in place for senior management, payroll certificate not signed by persons in charge of payroll, revenue management, not all money due to the department had been collected. In terms of the recommendations made by the AG's office, the first one, that is 7.1.8, there's a need for the implementation of an adequate review of financial statements prior to submission for audit to ensure compliance. The department should develop a system to ensure that the department procures goods and services in a transparent, cost-effective, and efficient manner. Compliance to laws and regulations should be adhered to during procurement in order to prevent irregular expenditure. Despite a concerted effort to ensure payments are affected within 30 days, instances of non-compliance were still noted. Action needs to be taken against non-compliant individuals as processes are in place and just require adherence thereto. Risk management needs to ensure compliance with required laws and regulations. Governance structures need to be given priority to provide oversight over financial performance, governance, and compliance matters. Vacancies at the senior level need to be filled to ensure critical line functions are accountable to senior management and internal controls are implemented. In terms of the internal controls as observed by the AG's office, the AG observed the following: inadequate monitoring controls to ensure proper implementation of the processes of planning, budgeting, implementation and reporting, and to ensure compliance with laws and regulations. Inadequate monitoring controls to ensure funds were utilized in accordance with the approved budget and for the purpose for which they were intended for. Ineffective year monitoring of compliance with laws and regulations. Staff members preparing financial statements did not fully understand the requirements of the financial reporting framework, and inadequate review of financial statements by senior management prior to submission for auditing. Lastly, a risk assessment not conducted and governance such as prescribed were not in place. Under recommendations, having interacted with the department and the AG's office, the committee made the following observations. The committee noted the findings and recommendations as presented by AG's office. The committee noted that the department did not have a strategic plan and annual performance plans for 2010-11, thus making it difficult for the committee to measure the department's performance against approved objectives. Noted a lack of leadership within the department was concerning, hence it would appear that there was no guidance provided to support officials within the department. Also noted that the department stated in their annual report for financial year 2010-11 that Program 1, that is administration, was non-existent as the department was reliant on the president's corporate service support and raised a concern in this regard. Committee noted with concern that the department had underspent on the program for the rights of people with disabilities. In addition, committee reminded the department that it was a lead department insofar as the rights of persons with disability was concerned, and as such should prioritize reaching the 2% employment target for persons with disabilities. Committee noted that only 9,000 beneficiaries will benefit with regards to the sanitary dignity campaign. Conclusion, committee welcomed the presentation by the Department of Women, Children, People with Disabilities on its annual report financial year, and encouraged the department to address concerns raised by members. Recommendation, that the department addresses concerns as highlighted by the committee. Department as a matter of agency addresses the challenges in relation to human resource constraints, particularly program for persons with disabilities. The department takes heed of matters of resources as highlighted by ASFA as well as problems, implement the recommendation and corrective measures as set out by ASFA in its audit report on the department.
On page 10, Chair, why don't we start by saying rather the President. Page 14, under the State of the Nation, instead of saying in his 2010 State of the Nation address, the President, we rather say the President in his state or in his 2010 State of the Nation address. No, I'm saying the sentence started with in his 2010 State of the Nation address, the President highlighted government commitment. Why don't we rather say the President in his 2010 State of the Nation address highlighted this and that? And then, Chair, I would like to know why some of the observations that you the committee raised yesterday are not highlighted in this document. For instance, the tax certificate clearance, the department is silent on that particular issue.
myself silent on this report and the revenue management. The report was silent on those issues.
I was listening to what was being read, I thought to myself, you know, this is actually pretty damning, the report. And, you know, they haven't done this, they haven't done that, they haven't done the next thing. And yet in our conclusion we say we welcome the presentation and we recommend. It's almost as though we're not doing something a little bit stronger. Don't you think our concern about the inadequacy? We understand all their reasons for why they've not been able to do things, but I think as this committee we should express ourselves more strongly and say that we are really concerned about the lack of performance, the lack of monitoring, the lack of this, that, and the next thing, the tax compliance, whatever you want to say. I just think we need to come out more strongly, because here it's almost as though we're saying, fine, thanks for your report, it's okay, you can carry on. I think we need to be stronger.
I think I want to agree with the previous speakers. It is a damning report, and I'm sitting here asking myself, are we only reporting about the negatives? Because during discussions, I think there were interactions, but it looked like we just went for the negatives, and are we not supposed in the report also to say something about the response by the department? Because some of the things were responded to, and also there were also supporting documents to that effect from the department, and it does not seem like we are interested in that. It's like we are just going for the department and just, you know, hammering on, you know, the bad things that they did. Is that how the report should look like, really? Because I know that previously, I mean, there were also comments that were made to say, you know, this is, you know, as you know, people are seeing, you know, the light, you know, at the end of the tunnel. But nothing of that nature. It's like we are fighting with the department. Really, I'm very much worried, you know, really, because it's like we want to say this department must close, you know. It's nothing that they're doing. I'm very much worried. I just want an explanation from the drafters of this, to say really they didn't hear anything that is just a little bit of a good thing, just bad things that are being said about this report.
I saw a member of question. Responding to your concern, Chair, I think the drafters are supposed to report on or to write on the department's the rental, No, not the achievements of the department, but the department have responded to the Auditor General, and that part of the report that we got yesterday is left out of the report, which I think is crucial, because some demands that came from the Auditor General, they have met after they had a meeting with the Auditor General. That's one point I wanted to raise. And the second one was, actually, we did not welcome the report. I don't know whether we welcomed the report. Actually, we congratulated the department on its unqualified report.
The reason why I'm saying really we are just on the attack, instead of putting the way you say we congratulate, we say although they got the unqualified, it's, you know, we are across from the beginning and But you must give credit where it deserves. And not just the credit. We want this department to improve, and we need to say what is right to make it improve. I agree that we have to be hard to be able, so that the department can really take us serious and know that we want to see this department functioning. We don't want it to close down, you know. We want to see it functioning, so we need to be objective. But there was a discussion yesterday, and nothing appears in the report about the discussions that took place in this report. I'm sorry I didn't take, but I think from the presentation, really, there were those that could go, are we not supposed to talk about what the department said? We only talk about what the Auditor General is saying. The presentation by the department, I think the department must also be heard in the report. You know.
The challenge has been from the administration side about delegation of work, about who puts the report in. We got strict instructions as to how we were supposed to engage with the BRR. Last year, myself and Elisa worked very differently about putting the BRR together. This year, our instructions were very different. So, Elisa was expected to do all of this on her own. But notwithstanding this, in terms of the way forward, to look at exactly what Shepherd's Net said, what we could do is, say, I hear, Honourable Kiki, that these are the observations noted by the committee, and that we could have a section that in terms of the department's response to the AG, it had noted that it will have an action plan implemented by the 25th of October, that subsequently the respective personnel have been employed, internal audit is in place, and that in terms of the concerns around the disability program, that engagement with the DG has happened and matters here too will be acknowledged. So what we could do in terms of in terms of observations, what we can include is the committee noted these issues, that in terms of the departmental response based on the engagement with the Auditor General and the committee, the department had noted that it will have an action plan implemented by the 25th of October to give effect to the AG's recommendations. That secondly, it had subsequently employed the respective personnel in terms of ensuring internal control measures and employing the requisite expertise. That thirdly, and in terms of the concerns noted around the disability program, that engagement with issues with regards to the DG had happened, that matter would be addressed. So that's how we can summarize. And so we note the committee's observations, and then say in terms of the departmental response, the department responded in terms of the committee for these and these issues, and that in terms of the AG, what the plan of action is and what they have subsequently put in place. If we go in terms of the conclusion, if I take members back to page 3 of the document, there's 3 things that the committee needs to summarize and come up with. Firstly, it's the assessment of the department's service delivery performance given the available resources. So how did the department perform in relation to the money that was given? The committee had noted that there was overexpenditure, an explanation was given, but the committee also noted that the outcomes in relation to the activities of these undertakings need to be made clearer to the committee. So, for example, yes, we acknowledge the policy paper, you presented at a conference, you attended a conference, but what came out of that that would impact on the life of a woman, a child, and a person's disability? Secondly, that assessments of the effectiveness and efficiency of the department's use and for allocation of available resources. So the committee also noted that in terms of the disability program, for many persons with disabilities in the country, because of such a huge under-expenditure, the committee was concerned that how does delivery in terms of the department's mandate give effect to changing the lives of people with disabilities when there was such a huge under-expenditure. And then lastly, the committee also has to make recommendations in terms of the use of resources, that what has come out now, the committee has indicated that, one, in terms of the committee's mandate, it has to be clear in terms of the objectives and targets it set, that the available resources would be used efficiently and effectively, and that it needs to narrow its focus so that it actually brings about change in the lives of women, children, and persons with disabilities. So maybe if we have more input from members around what the conclusions are about the committee's observations around the assessment of the department's service delivery performance based on the committee's engagement with this department for the year 10-11, based on the annual report, based on the fact that we had sent back the strategic plan 4 times last year, because the committee had noted, we're not happy with your objectives, we're not happy with your targets, we're not happy with you doing commemorative events, you're not supposed to be doing service delivery. And then in terms of effectiveness and efficiency. So I think the conclusion can be tighter, but maybe if we can get guidance from the committee as to what specifically do you want to come across from the committee's observations in terms of how they use the resources, your assessment of their performance for the year under review, and the effectiveness and efficiency, and also the recommendation as to, given the 2 years left and the money allocated, what is the committee's recommendation as to how they should be using that money to bring about change in the lives of women, children, and persons with disabilities?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would understand regarding the recommendations that we should put more as a committee. But regarding the observations, Chair, the observation is what we discussed thoroughly yesterday with the department. And going through the observations, actually, I'm not happy with all the bullets, because there is no flesh in the bullets. All the issues that we discussed are not properly written in this link on the observations. And look at, for instance, the issue of the disability. We discussed that issue at length, and we came out with a proposal what we are discussing. But what is written here, I mean, the observation for the committee, if you were not part of the committee, it won't make sense to you as someone that was not part and parcel of the committee. There is no flesh. So the drafters need to put more flesh, because these particular issues, they must come together with their notes that they took yesterday, the three of them, and then they help us with the observations, because there's no flesh at all with the observations of this committee. Otherwise, when this is where is it submitted to Parliament, they won't understand our observations. And it's the same as recommendations, but I think as a committee we can come up with the recommendations again today. Because the observations, Chair, came out of our interaction with the department yesterday. So those, the issues that we observed in the report, we raised them yesterday. And actually, even the recommendations we came up with yesterday.
We are still thinking the question of CGE must not be left out. And the observations and the recommendations. And when I picked up when Kashifa was talking about service delivery in terms of the contract, I think the minister, when she also presented the, you know, the, because we got the copies of the conference where it was said it was the first time, you know, ever since the inception of this ministry to have that kind of conference. We also had disabled people. It's just that in that kind of conference you can measure, you know, what and to me it was a service delivery because there were ordinary women there, more than what was the number, by the way, I forgot the number, and women were given an opportunity to express themselves, and all ministers came to that conference and committed themselves to say how they are going to be assisting women, you know. And that's why I'm saying it does look like we're not talking about, you know, those member Kiki also is highlighting the question of persons with disabilities. I think it was discussed at length. And unfortunately, some of us, we don't take notes when we are sitting here. It's going to be very difficult unless we go back and come back with those observations. We thought that they will be covered. So that they become part of our observations, and then some of them become part of the recommendations. But you thought you were going to respond to someone who said, why do we have conclusion? I think that is the format in which we are supposed to report the conclusion coming before the recommendations. That's the format that we are requested to report. Member Robinson?
Chair, I'm afraid I must disagree with you slightly. I think the conference was great, as you said. Getting the people together was fantastic. Letting people's voices be heard was great, as we did also with the Women's Parliament and various other things. But I think when we come to judge whether there has been service delivery, we must see what the outcomes of that meeting are. The ministers have made undertakings. They have said what they're going to do. But I think we can only really judge whether there has been a change and whether something tangible has happened afterwards to see whether that is going to happen. So I said the report was damning, and I think it deserves to be. So, again, there's a slight emphasis change here. But I also want to say I recognize that we said there is a change, and I myself complimented the minister in saying you started from a very poor base, but you are making a difference. So I'm happy for us to say that we see that there is the beginnings of a turnaround, or there's the beginnings of light at the end of the tunnel. But I don't think that we can actually minimize the shortcomings. So while we are going to say, right, you failed with this, that, and the next thing, we welcome the beginnings of a change, but make sure that you're going to make it better. So, yeah, I think that's probably enough.
I don't think we are differing. I don't think we are differing because I myself, too, I want the report to have that. You know that this, the you know the our observation, and taking into account the AG's report, you know,
we don't have to leave that out. But what we're saying, let us also bring in, you know, the very few, you know, improvements that have been done. You can't, some of the things you can't put them in the report. You can't put them, like for instance, to say that there was not threat plan. It was not the present minister. But you can't put it in the report that the previous minister did not have the threat plan and the annual performance plan, and it impacts on the present minister, you know. But that you can't put it in the report because it will sound as she's pushing the back because she inherited all that. And I think we have to think of as members of this committee, you know, of such instances, although we can't put them in the report. But I don't think I'm differing with what you are saying, to say we must not be nice about the report. The report must reflect what has happened. But at the same time, we must also say, you know, the responses were to regarding that, because there are correspondences, you know, between the AG and the department and the treasury to explain which were accepted. But they can't be in the report, you know. So maybe then we will leave it at that if there are no any member Kiki.
Chair, we had an interaction with the Auditor General, and it's not reflected in this report, which I think it's important it should be reflected as well.
No, the reason I'm making this is that I don't want to keep the church tomorrow. I think it's better if we are honest, like myself, that I know for sure that I won't be here tomorrow. So I don't want you to come here tomorrow and keep the church and let down. It's better if you know today that there's going to be a problem. Thank you.
day, the afternoon.
One thing that I can say about this man, about this thing, I honestly, I never liked this report. It's too biased and too one-sided. Why? Because I think it is compiled in such a way. I just tell you how bad you are.
Chairperson, we are four, and me and Pell. Pell, the Home Affairs is meeting at 2.
Oh, okay.
She must be available tomorrow. We are going to be four.
Tomorrow,
five more chairperson.
You ask for almost half.
Yeah, we'll be short of 2, but Libenya will send somebody. It'll be 6. You'll try. You'll make sure that you send somebody in Kenya. Mama.
Easy with you.
Hey, good. You Friday, man. I'll come back about flu and I Friday. I think now Friday, I think it is a bad day. Because everyone is flying and everybody's going for home for the weekend. And the fact So when are you scheduled to go back? Or for this afternoon?
Let's just meet the parents first.
Yes, this one. Yeah, I think it will be working. I texted working because I think from yesterday and today. This is my fourth meeting for this week. So I've been working on the other ones.
Notice here on that last report that the department would send the committee statistics and figures on sign language interpreters and where they were operating. Have we received any of these things that we've asked for? Okay, another black mark.
Yeah, so we'll tell her we learned what's up for that.
for the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.